Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
To our guests, as always, we are truly honored by your presence. Know that you are our honored and esteemed guest, and we hope that, as our brother earlier mentioned, you'll be willing to share your contact information with us so that we can be able to continue to stay in contact with one another. Please open your Bibles to the first letter written to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll be taking our thoughts beginning there at verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Please bow with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, praise, honor, and glory forever be thine. Father, we come to thee reverently through the avenue of prayer, not only to praise thy name, but also to offer our thanksgiving through the fruit of the lips, that we, Father, give thee thanks for the life that thou hast given us. We give thee thanks, Father, for the time that we've had to not only rejoice together as thy saints, but that we, but Father, have been blessed to be rejoicing with thee as well. And we, Father, thank thee for the opportunity that we have every day to continue to work, Father, work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Thank you, Father, for your long-suffering, for your magnanimity, and Father, for always being providential by giving us all of these opportunities. But we are most grateful, Father, for thy Son, for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for his sacrifice, for his shed blood on that cross, for his burial and his resurrection, which gave us the glad tidings of salvation. Thank you, Father, for we know that all of this, our Father, would have not been so had it not been for thy will. Father, as we now strive to understand, Lord, our relationship in thy Son, how it is to be fervent with one another, please, Father, allow this thy servant to speak as thy oracle. Allow me, Father, to share what I've been able to learn from thy word. But, Father, above all, grant me the strength and the boldness so that, Father, my example may bring forth glory and honor to thy name. Forgive us, Father, when we have sinned. Forgive us when we have fallen prey to temptation. Grant us the strength, Father, and the meekness to learn from our stumbles, and so that we may rise and continue to fight this good fight, so that we, Father, may be with thee in eternity for living with thee, Father, in fellowship. This, Father, we pray not because we're worthy, but we do it in the glorious and precious name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our relationship in Christ must be fervent. The commandment that is given to us in verse 8 is, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. There's much that we can say as regards to the backdrop of why the Apostle Peter spoke these words. But tonight, I would like for us to do this as we've been trying to do in a form of word study. Because as I was preparing and as I was studying this and speaking with faithful brethren, I was asking the question, why must love be fervent? Why is it that the commandment given by the Holy Spirit through the quill of Peter is that our love for one another must be fervent? We know that our Lord Jesus Christ gave us that new commandment, that we are to love one another as He loved us. We know that the 1 John chapter 3, the inspired John reminds us that this commandment, although new, is indeed not something new, but rather something that has always been a requirement on behalf of our God, that we have to love one another. But it is interesting, brethren, that when we read this passage which we just read, we see that the Apostle Peter is inspired to provide an adjective which is inquired or included, rather, into what type of love we should have for each other. When we talk about the word fervent, we talk immediately about, or we think about immediately, a fire. We think about heat, and we think about something that refers to, that will bring forth warmth or life into our body. But the reality is, brethren, that as I sought and I researched this word fervent, the terms that were used by the Apostle Peter in regards to the original Greek does indeed have something to do with heat, but it is not the only adjective or the only way in which this word is being used. You see, in Greek, the word fervent there in verse 8, for those who like to mark their Bibles or for those who are taking notes to research and check to see if this is so afterward, is ektenes. Ektenes. And this means to be stretched out. Metaphorically, to be stretched out with intent, to be stretched out earnestly. And here is the word in which the way the Apostle Peter is using it, to be stretched out assiduously. To be stretched out assiduously. We then go to the root word of ektenes, which is ektino. Ektino, once more, is to stretch out or to stretch forth over, towards, or against one. So observe how indeed it is referring to, in a way or in a sense, to the heat that we're speaking of. But once more, when we hear about something fervent, we typically think about the burning fire that is there in the log. But the Apostle Peter is not referring to the fire itself, but rather he is referring to the heat which it emanates from that fire. You think about a poor household in the Middle East when there was no electricity and no energy. And you think about the harsh winters that they endured. What many times would happen is those families of that community that was poor would during the winter spend it together, and they would be in a small room where in the center of the room was a hearth burning with a log. And the idea was that that burning, that fire that was in the center of that room, it was emanating that heat, but the body heat that was around it was stretching forth and expanding the heat into the rest of the house. And then we bring into memory that when this letter was written, according to history, Peter was in chains at Rome because Christianity was outlawed. And the world was truly a cool, cold, cruel world. You will very quickly go with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. There, brethren, we see where Jesus begins to explain to his disciples and he answers to them in regards to the end of times. Verses 3 through 14, we're not going to read it all, but just as a way of explanation, we understand that this section is referring specifically in regards to what was going to happen before the destruction of Jerusalem. And in part of that, with the passage that we're going to be taking, the reason we're using it is to show why Peter would use this word of fervent in regards to fire. And we go there beginning at verse 9, or verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Brethren, when we look at the word fervent, the ektenes. We are seeing that in the regards to terms of fire, it is referring to the fact that we, brethren, must stretch out our heat to one another. That we, brethren, must expand the heat that the fire of the word emanates, because at that time when Peter was writing this, he had these words of Jesus Christ in his mind. They were living and they were going through the period described by our Master here. They were being persecuted heavily, not only by the Jews, but now Rome had taken its toll on Christianity. This time, brethren, many Jews rose claiming to be the Christ. And the reason they claimed this was because the Christ, as the Jews wanted it to be, was to lead them into war against the Roman Empire and free them from the yoke of Rome. And thus, because the persecution was so heavy, because the pain and the sorrow was so difficult, the love of many was waxing cold. The zeal and the fire for God's word was dying out. And thus Peter says, bring your hearts together and stretch out, stretch forth, stretch over toward and against one another the heat that will keep that zeal and that fire alive. Brethren, our brother, our love in Christ, our relationship in Christ must be fervent, because truly we are still living in a cruel, cold world. And although Matthew chapter 24, verses 13 and 14 are directly referring to the time before the destruction of Jerusalem, in a way we still can see how the love of many has been waxing cold. We are seeing it how the difficulty of challenges of being Christians in the 21st century, where we are being ostracized because we stand against the ideals of non-binary. We are being ostracized because we do not agree with the false concepts of feminism. Because we are being ostracized because we stand with God's word and marriage, divorce, and remarriage, that only adultery, that is to say infidelity, is the only cause given by God for someone to be eligible to remarry. And because there are so few of us, brethren, that are wanting to do what God's will as He commands us to do, we can say that we are living in a situation of poverty, spiritually speaking. And thus, our relationship must be a fervent one. We must stretch out that heat of God's love, of His zeal, for doing what is right to one another, so that we can keep our love from waxing cold because of how lawlessness is abounding currently in our world. We mentioned the word assiduously. Assiduously, as defined, it is assiduous, is an adjective. And according to Merriam-Webster's online dictionary, it is showing great care, attention, and effort. It is marked by being careful, unremitting attention, or persistent application. According to the dictionary, it is the etymology means, or rather its root is referring to or suggesting a dogged or tireless persistence. It refers that it implies that you're in it for the long haul, that you have the ability to sit with a task or challenge for a considerable amount of time. So not only is the Apostle Peter, referring to the fact that it must be like the fire that stretches out its heat and it brings forth and brings toward us the warmth of its heat, but brethren, it is also something that must be long-lasting. It is something that must sit with us. It is something that must be in for the long war, the long haul. This word of assiduous comes from the Latin term asidere. And asidere in English means to sit beside. The Romans took this word from their root word, which means assiduous. Assiduous came from either settled in or rooted in place, and it is also in reference to constantly present. So when we see that the word fervent, that is ektenes, refers to the fact that we, brethren, must be able to sit with one another, that we, brethren, must be willing to be persistently present, well, now we see that the idea is not only that of a fire, but we are seeing that the idea is that of a double tree, if you will. Let me explain to you about why the double tree concept is present here. Because when two trees, from the moment they are planted in the earth, grow together, their roots, as time goes by, come and they intertwine with each other. And the longer those two trees are together, the longer they learn to co-depend on each other. And they begin to share their minerals, and they begin to share their nutrients, and it's as if they were one tree, although they are independently giving forth their fruit. The problem becomes if one of those trees is bitten by a bug, or if one of those trees is struck by lightning or torn down. Not long after, the tree that remains cannot survive, nor will it be able to sustain itself, because it is no longer obtaining the same amount of nutrients, minerals that it once did, because the roots of the other have died with it. Brethren, we are to sit with one another. We are to be, or we are in it for the long haul. When it tells us that our love is fervent, this is another way of saying that our love is a commitment for the long haul. We not only are committed to our God, but we are committed to one another. And as long as we continue in the gospel, brethren, as long as we continue together, working together, we can fuel each other. And we can feed and sustain one another. Because we are all rooted in Christ Jesus. But notice that the idea that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had was indeed similar to what Peter is saying. John chapter 15, Christ says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser." But then he turns to us and explains what our part is. "And you are the branches. Any branch that abides in me will give forth fruit." But brethren, we see that God also speaks about pruning his true vine. And the branches that die, the branches that are unfruitful, the branches that are siphoning the strength and minerals from those other branches that are being very productive, those are the ones that Jesus promises will be pruned, will be bound, and will be cast into the fire. We, brethren, should have fervent love for one another, like a double tree whose roots are entangled and feed together, grow together, and nurture each other. Fervent love, as described by the word there, ektino, means that we, brethren, must be willing and ready to long suffer. That we must be willing to forbear and endure one another. That we must not immediately give up on each other. That we must not be ready to put an axe to the root of our fellowship with one another. Because we understand that if I cut off a limb, that I run the risk of I myself becoming decayed and shriveling up because of the lack of the minerals that happens. But there is one other definition, brethren. One more word which is used by the dictionary. One more example, rather. And it says that assidere or assiduous, it is in reference, if you will, or it can be used, ektino, carries the idea of laying out the cable to which the anchor is fastened. In other words, it is to cast anchor or drop the anchor into the sea. So ektinēs and its root word ektino can you be used metaphorically in reference to the heat of the fire that stretches out and fills a room. It could be used to a double tree which the roots have sat together and have grown and feed off of each other. But it also refers to extending or carrying the idea of the cable which one casts into the sea that carries the anchor, and the purpose is to hold the ship from going into shipwreck and crashing among those cliffs or those icebergs. So we, brethren, must love one fervently, like the fire which extends its heat to keep each other warm. We must love fervently like double trees whose roots are nourishing one another and fueling each other. But sometimes, brethren, to love each other fervently is we have to be like an anchor that stops us from going into shipwreck. We must be the driving force that casts out that anchor into the sea, that drops it so that the ship that is navigating into waters that are too dangerous during a storm or in the darkness where no stars can be seen. We have to be that anchor that stops one another from shipwrecking because we chose to take a great risk. So we are like fire. We are like trees, but we are also like an anchor. All three of these terms show us, brethren, how to survive as Christians in a cruel, cold, challenging world. Now look at how the text works. Fire. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Extend your heat, your warmth of welcome to each other. Bring forth that warmth and keep each other warm. Ektenes. Bring that heat of encouragement. Bring that heat of comfort to each other through hospitality. Open your homes and allow the heat of your love to extend and to fill outside of your house, but so that it is so fervent that it can be felt. Because love will cover a multitude of sins. Just like the heat from the fire will cover a cold environment, it will cover us and shroud us from the cold of our bones. It will keep our body heat moving and alive. The double tree. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We have all received gifts. We have all been assigned a talent or two. But it is our responsibility to be sharing with one another. Once more, the idea of reciprocity comes in reference to our relationship in Christ. Like the double tree, we must grow and let our roots entangle with one another. We must be grounded and rooted in Christ Jesus, our Savior. But we must grow upon the foundation that has been laid by the prophets and the apostles of old. And together we must brace each other to be able to survive the storms of life and the trials of this current world. We are not a fortress unto ourselves, but rather together we must mingle and we must intertwine. Because the roots of two trees combined are obviously stronger than the roots of a tree on its own. And the way we do this is by ministering to each other, by ministering to one another, the gifts that we have been given as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If my gift is to teach, then I will teach. If your gift is to console, then you console. If your gift is to encourage, while I teach you, you encourage me, and we both grow together, and our roots intertwine. And when I am discouraged, I know where and who to look for to find that heat that I so desperately need. But finally, observe, brethren, the anchor. The anchor that keeps us from shipwreck. And remember, all of these are in reference to the word fervent or ektenes, that is the root word as ektino. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. There is the anchor that keeps us from shipwreck. Speak as God spoke. Minister as God desires you to do, and may the reason why you do it be for the honor and glory of Him, and not your own desires, not your own passions, not your own agenda. Even preaching, brethren, can be done for selfish purposes. Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul pointed out how some were preaching the gospel because they were trying to get under his skin. And even though Paul said, but as long as the gospel is preaching, that's all that matters to me, doesn't change the fact that their intentions were not accepted by God. Because their objective was not glorifying God. It was glorifying oneself. To love one another with fervent love, brethren. Our relationship in Christ to be fervent means, here in verse 11, that with the word of God and with the will of God, we sometimes need to keep each other from shipwrecking. We need to be the anchor that pulls back that ship, that holds back that boat from crashing and sinking into the depths of sin. We have to resist one another sometimes. We have to be that force that sustains or it stretches against. Notice that the word also refers to stretch out against one. We have to be the force that stops our brother from going into that vial of madness. Because that is love too. Therefore, brethren, as we begin to wrap up, as we've done this word study tonight, the word fervent in Greek is ektenes. Ektenes, once again, refers to stretched out metaphorically by intent, earnestly, and assiduously. Its root word is ektaino. And ektaino holds the idea of stretching out against, forth, over, towards, and it is giving the idea of, in the terms of fire, how it stretches and fills a room with this heat. In the terms of a double tree, how its roots wrap up with one another and intertwine and feed each other and nurture one another to grow. And in the terms of an anchor, how it is dropped or cast into the sea to stop a ship from shipwrecking among the rocks that are hidden or the iceberg that perhaps can be detrimental. As Christians, brethren, we are to be fervent as fire, verse 7 through 9 of 1 Peter 4. We must be like the double tree, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And we must be like that anchor that drops into the sea, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. To love our relationship in Christ is fervent as the fire, as the intertwining roots of the double tree, and as the anchor that stops us from shipwrecking. Therefore, brother, if you have not been living righteously, tonight we want to extend our heat to you. Tonight we want to give you of our nutrients and encourage you. Tonight we want to be the anchor that stops you from shipwrecking in sin. And thus we encourage you to repent from your sin. Beware of not dying in your sins. If you need prayers, we are here tonight ready to pray on your behalf. We're ready not only to pray for you, but we, more importantly, are ready to pray with you. But we will not only pray, we will also encourage you. And together we can see, what is the road that God places in front of you with His Word that leads back to restoration in His eyes? And to you, friend, we want to be for you that fire that brings life to your soul. Because right now, without Christ, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. We want to be that spark We want to ignite with our fire, our zeal in Christ. Titus chapter 3, verse 12 teaches us that because Christ died for us, we then should have a zeal for doing good works. Well, we want to share of that zeal with you. We want to bring heat to your soul. We want to reignite that relationship with God. And to you we say, be baptized into the name of the Father, into the name of the Son, and into the name of the Holy Spirit for the remission of sins. And we have the promise from God that you will rise from death to life everlasting. Romans 6, verses 1 through 4 and verse 23. If there is anyone here tonight who is in need of this fervent love so that your sins may be covered through the multiplicity of our love, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and we sing.